This podcast is brought to you with support from Crittenden Health Systems, a local full-service hospital in Marion, Kentucky.
Well, Rocket football fans, this is a tough podcast to do. The last one of the year and some excruciating circumstances, Coach Starnes. I know it has been a frustrating last few days for you as you go back over what happened at Bethlehem.
Yeah, you know, Chris, I beat myself up all weekend. And, first of all, let me say that I'm as proud as I can be of these kids for the way that they played. And, really nobody gave us a chance to win that ball game. Bethlehem's a good football team. And then for us to come out and take it to a good team like that, says a lot for our kids. And I really was very proud of them. But I am disappointed. I am frustrated in the way that it ended up because it's a situation where we had an opportunity to have an outstanding, great season and then play for a regional championship game this upcoming week and play three quarters outstanding and just blew it in the fourth quarter. And I don't have an answer for it as far as, I've been asked why. How this happens and stuff like that, and I don't know that I can answer how it happened, but I know why it happened, and we have to learn and grow from there, and all that is on my shoulders. It's my fault, and we have to understand that we're playing with young kids, and every game is an experience game for them. But this was an opportunity for us to send a message to the state that Crittenden County is not a bad football team. Mm-hmm. They beat Bethlehem, and we blew that. And kids don't understand that, but as a coach who's been here a while, we understand that means a lot for the future of the program when you do stuff like that. And you get tired of hearing people say, well, at least you had a chance or it was close or something like that. And you have to be able to win those ball games. We simply just did not finish.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a game that people are going to be talking about from now on. I look back over the years and there are a lot of games in my mind that sticks out. And unfortunately, this is going to be one, and people are going to talk about it and they're going to second guess. But let's go back from the beginning and talk about the first half. You just really surprised the devil out of Bethlehem, and I think our fans. I think we were, as you said, nobody gave us a chance to win this game. And we came out, we take it to them, and at the end of the first half, we're up 26-14. Hunter Boone throws three touchdown passes. Everything's falling our way at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we were proud of the kids because they're a potent offense. They have scored a lot of points on opposing teams, and I think they're probably averaging in the 30s, in the 30 points or something like that throughout the game, maybe even 40s. And so, we were proud of the kids, too, because they were playing hard. They were stopping them. Their quarterback is outstanding, and they have a good running game. And they're a system offense, and so they throw the football. So, we were proud of our kids and played a great first half, and everything was going our way. And then come out in the second half. And continue that. And within, the first couple possessions we scored 10 more points to make it 36-14. So, I just thought things were rolling at that point, and then it just seems like that everything just went downhill from there. And that's been the case throughout this whole season for us. If it's going well, it's going well. If it doesn't go well, we can't stop it, and we couldn't stop it. And that's what happened at that point. And I think the responsibility needs to go on to players, and needs to go on to coaches, and needs to go on all of us that were involved. And it ultimately stops at me, because in that situation, we should have had time management and protection of the football. Because at that time, you go back and hindsight is always 20/20.
Sure.
You say, well, we should have ran the ball, ran the clock out. And we couldn't run the ball. We couldn't sustain runs. But what we needed to be thinking about is taking time off the clock. And I always tell, and I told Coach Thompson, don't protect the lead, because that's what gets you beat. Don't right. play not to lose the right. game. We're still going to play to win the ball game. But I think that the youth and inexperience of the players on the field didn't translate into situational awareness of what was going on. And so you have to protect the football because it's not always bad to punt the ball. So I think that that's what happened. I think that we're still young, still experienced. We didn't have great time management, clock management, and we didn't have protection of the football.
Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about so often, this is a sophomore-dominated football team. And to go on the road against a senior-dominated football team led by a quarterback that's one of the best we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, you're right. I mean, and it showed in the fourth quarter. You know, we did what we had to do for three quarters to get that lead, but then we didn't or were unable to finish the deal. And I think, you know, from my perspective and what I saw, and I think we still tried to do some of the things that we do other than maybe the option pitch. And I just couldn't understand that particular play in that particular situation. We hadn't run it that many times all season. And I've always, I know in baseball, I'm more of a baseball mind, I guess. You never throw a curveball when your fastball is your best pitch at the end of the game. You use your best. Don't get beat with something that's a second best pitch. So I thought maybe that one, and that's where they scooped and scored the go-ahead
touchdown. You know, and again, it's protection of the football. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's we have plays in for certain situations, and it's a matter of us executing. And if we execute, it's okay. And if it's not, then you look back on it. Now, it's not something we do all the time, you know. So you can go back and beat yourself up and say that I could have done something differently, and maybe should have done something differently. But it all comes down to execution and protecting the football. And so you still have to protect it. You have to understand the situation. And that was a backbreaker. I mean, that was it was still tied up. We had a chance to move the ball, drive it down, score and win the football game, but we put the ball on the ground, they scoop and score. Now we're playing from behind, and we actually stop them, and we get the ball back with a minute and something to go and have a chance to tie it up. But I can tell you, you know, in that situation, I'd already decided if we were scoring, we were going for two, mm-hmm. because we weren't stopping them. So we were going to go for two had we scored there at the end.
You know, I think another factor that I haven't heard mentioned was the wind. You know, we were in the fourth quarter, we were going into the wind, which affected, I think, maybe some of the throws that Hunter made. But the wind at field level, you really couldn't feel the wind, but the radio station was up in the tower on the end of the field. That our backs were to the tower in the fourth quarter. And when I went up there at halftime, that wind was whipping like, I mean, it felt like it was blowing 25, 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you could not feel that down on the field. But when you get up, so I think that probably had something to do with it. And, you know, that may be a home field advantage. They may, you know, always want to go to that way.
No, it was our choice, Chris. And, you know, we won the toss. We got the option for the ball. And so we gave them the ball in the second half, which meant that we had the sides of the field. And trust me, we knew the wind. And so I talked to Sean about it. And we had failed and decided that we wanted the wind in the third quarter because we had a big lead and we wanted to still put the pedal to the metal, and we didn't want them to come back and then us have to try to play catch-up.
Right.
So we wanted that wind in the third
quarter.
And
it worked well. Will Perkins gets his first ever field goal, and we talked about that.
And so we scored 10 points just like that. So we go up 22 points. And so you know, it could have been the wind. It could have had something to do with it. I understand that.
And then you stopped them. You stopped them at near midfield. I think it was somewhere around the 42-yard line, I believe is what it was. And on four downs, on their second possession of the second half. I'm talking in the third quarter now. Mm-hmm. Their first possession, they punt. And after we've scored a touchdown, we force them to punt, we go back down, we score a field goal, three more points, and then on the next series, we hold them fourth down near midfield, because they're going for it on fourth down midfield. They know their backs to the wall at that point.
Right.
We stop them. Mm-hmm. I think the game's over.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, rightfully it should have been, because at that point, you know, we should have been able to drive it down and score another one, and the game would have been over. And we didn't do that. And I can't remember if that's when we threw an interception.
That was the Hunter's first interception.
So, you know, that is the time that we had them. They were doing things that were desperate. They knew that they had to push, and that's the time that experienced players and teams understand that you put the game away. And we just couldn't put the game away, and we kept them in it. We allowed them in it because we didn't protect the ball, and therefore I think that's what that's the reason why we lost the ball game.
And they reel off four straight touchdowns, which was just so improbable. I mean, it was the perfect storm, and it was just a it's like I said, it's one of those games that we're gonna be talking about this one probably long after you and I are done.
And you know, Chris, I mean, we would be talking about it in a positive way had we won the ball game.
That's right.
So, you know, it's going to be talked about because we weren't supposed to go. You know, just like last year, we go there and they beat us 48-21, mm-hmm. something like that. We were in it for a little bit, and then they just blew away. And you know, I think people were expecting the same thing because they were number one seed in the district, that district, and we were number two. But we're a young football team, so I think people just expected that to happen and knew that Bethlehem was going to play Russellville. And you know, we got to be proud of what the kids accomplished in the first half, yeah, for getting us in that situation. And the outcome did not end up the way that we wanted to, but you know, we have to be proud of these young kids because you know, they are young. And you have Ethan Hunt that had 12 catches for 125 yards, mm-hmm. and I think three touchdowns, and mm-hmm. You know, we have to be proud of
set a couple of records.
You know, we have to be, mm-hmm. and we are proud of those kids.
Absolutely.
And so, I'm, you know, as much as this is difficult for me right now to get over, you know, we are gonna rebound. We are gonna get better, and we are better today because of it.
A couple of personnel questions. One, I want you to comment on Adam Beavers. I thought played maybe the best game he played all year. Number two, Charlie Johnson had a big return in the first half, and of course I know he was an up back in that particular play, but I don't think he touched the ball the second half. He didn't have a single touch. He ran the ball two times in the first half. Any particular reason, Charlie? Sometimes he's electric. You know, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Sean to find out, but. You know, I don't know what and it's probably because we just didn't have time to do it. We were turning the ball over, so
yeah.
I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, but
I just kept looking for him to be the deep guy on a kickoff return or punt return or something.
Well, he's on the kickoff return. Mm-hmm. He got it. He's not the deep guy.
Right.
They weren't kicking it deep. Right, yeah. He's up guy, and so. You know, he's not on the punt return team. So if he's going to get it, it's generally going to be kicked short, or he's going to get it in the backfield.
Yeah, he had about a 70-yard return there in the first.
Yeah, and it sparked. You know, it sparked it. It energizes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, led to touchdown. Adam Beavers, great.
Adam Beavers I thought he played his best game. I thought he was excited. He played like we expected him to play all year, and I think that he grew up majorly. Friday night, because I was watching him
played like a senior,
played like an experienced veteran out there. And the good thing is, he's a junior. We have him back.
I thought Gavin Dickerson played like an upperclassman, and he's just a sophomore.
Yeah, and Gavin Dickerson, I'm gonna tell you what, I think he is one that makes us go with his excitement. And Gavin's been sick. He was sick all week. You know, and came to school late because of being sick Thursday, and. You know, and just went out there and just showed the excitement and the will and the determination
over
him running the ball, that he would not go down and just trying to will. And I could see it out there trying to will the other players to play as hard as he was playing. And that's the leadership that we're going to have in the upcoming years from him.
You just have to be excited about this team. And granted, we're not going to have some pretty good players coming back. Number one on that list, Ethan Hunt, who's just had an outstanding senior year, set the record for most catches in a game Friday night with a dozen, and broke TK Guess's record this year for most catches in a season, and just a great young man that just can't stay enough about Ethan. and he played a great defensive game too.
Yeah, played a great defensive game, and we were not going to be able to replace him. We're not going to be able to replace Mason Myers like that as well. That
Mason had a great game.
Yeah, had a great game. So
6 catches, 58 yards.
Yeah, and so we can't. It's not going to be able to replace him. It's going to have somebody to step in and be able to do that work that they did. So, you know, the thing is, the opportunity is there for somebody to work hard. And to make sure that the program continues the way it should be, and a lot of it comes on their shoulders that during off season, if they want to be the one that's going to set these records like Ethan did, then they're going to have to prepare for it. Ethan worked his tail off, and Mason worked their tails off in order to be able to do that and get where they are, and so it shows, and we had great years. So, you know, I hope that the kids experienced a feeling, those kids that are coming back, experienced a feeling that I had of frustration and disappointment after the game, because that drives you and makes you want to get better. And I hope that they want to get better and improve.
Mm-hmm. You know, our seniors in this game had 20 offensive touches, either receiving or running a ball out of some 60 plays in the game. So it's the future. The cupboard is certainly not empty. The cupboard is as full as it's been, I think, in a long time for a team that's coming back next year. And I know Russellville's going to be a challenge for the foreseeable future, but, you know, we can play and get back to a regional championship like we were so close this time. But I think this team has got some potential to really make some noise and to be ranked. I look for us to come in the season next year with a lot of support and a lot of people giving us some credit early on.
Yeah, and you know, I think that these kids are going to have to understand that, and they're going to have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. We have to get better, and so you know, we if they want that, they're going to work hard for it. You know, if not, and that's what we told this team all year long, that the expectation for this team wasn't high from everybody else because of the kids that we lost last year, the seniors. And so, you know, if they want that mindset to change, go earn it. And you know, that's what they're going to have to do now. If they want the mindset to change, we were close in going to the regional championship. We were close on beating Bethlehem, but we didn't. So the mindset is still there. I think people across the state were saying that the Crittenden Bethlehem game, if there was going to be an upset, it was going to be Crittenden over Bethlehem. That's what people were saying across the state. And we almost proved them right. Now we need to prove them right. We don't need to. Well, it was almost.
Yeah.
In order for us to get to that next level and to take this program up a notch from where it has been, then these kids are going to have to understand they're going to have to work their tails off during the off season to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And you can see where this goes. You can either let it be a thorn in your side and it festers and it becomes a bigger issue for you mentally and physically, or you can take this as motivation and you come back next year. And it's going to be Al Starnes' victory lap next year, right? Next year's the last year?
Next year's the last year, so hopefully it'll work out. And we're going to turn our equipment in today and vote and stuff like that. So we'll have one last talk with the kids and see if we can get their mindset the way ours is too, because, you know, it has been a thorn in my side this weekend, and I haven't slept well, and I haven't, you know, I haven't felt good, and it's just been miserable. It's just hard for me, and I hope that the kids will use this as motivation to get better.
I'm sure you got some therapy out in the deer stand this weekend.
Well, I was even mad at the deer out there and didn't even see that many. So
did you get a deer?
I did not. Let a lot of them go, but yeah. I was ready to shoot something.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to shoot for next year. That's all we can do at this point. I think Russellville has got my pick for regional champion next week when Bethlehem goes down there. And we're going to turn in our gear today. Coach Starnes, been a great year, been an exciting year, been a lot of ups and a lot of downs, a lot of injuries, but a lot of tears of emotion, both good and bad, I think, that I've seen on the kids' faces. And just want to say how much I've enjoyed this season. Some kind of wear on you, but this one never did. We didn't win a lot of games, but I've been excited.
Never did, Chris. And I'm telling you, it's been a fun year, and I've enjoyed coaching it. And it's because of the kids. I hate it for the kids that got hurt. You know, but life lessons continue, and we'll have to talk and stress about those things. So I appreciate it to you.
Well, all right. This is our final football podcast of 2016. Before we sign off today, however, Coach Darnes, I would like for you to once again reiterate how important it is to have that colon screening that we've talked about in the past. Crittenden Health Systems is sponsoring our podcast today. They want everybody to understand how important it is that you get a colon screening. And I know with your experience, you're a perfect spokesman for that, Coach Darnes.
Well, I mean, Chris, I mean, you know, I was diagnosed with colon cancer in 2013. I think that at that time I was 52 years old, and you know, you're supposed to get the colonoscopy at 50, and I didn't get it at 50, and Angela scheduled us to have a colonoscopy, and we did, and she was fine, and they found cancer in me, so. And had I gotten a colonoscopy at 50 years old, then I honestly believe that it would not have turned into cancer. So screening for it, I think, is the best way. Being preventative is the best way to prevent things from going any farther. And so now I'm a big advocate for it. If there's no signs or symptoms, and because I didn't, you know, you think that everything's okay. And it was a total shock to us. You know, I think that you know, 50 years old or if there's a history of colon cancer, then you get screened, because I think that that's going to save your life, potentially save your life, and they find things early.
Absolutely. That is sage advice from a man who knows all too well. Call Crittenden Health Systems today for more information about a colonoscopy screening. It is a procedure that is done right here at the hospital in Marion, and as Coach Darnes says, it can be a lifesaver.